Welcome to Vinyl Verdict. I'm Bell.
I'm Jamie.
I'm Plouf.
And this week we're talking about our favorite album covers.
Not a cover album.
No, that'll be a whole other episode. This is about the art we like on the outside of our albums.
Yeah.
And we brought some honorable mentions as well that we'll talk about at the end of the episode, just so we don't waste too much time in the preamble. But I have a fat stack. Album covers are so cool. That's one of the great things about having vinyl records is the large art. Am I right?
Yeah.
That's kind of, you know, I actually forgot that it was favorite, and I went with just what I thought looked really cool.
It's 1 foot square.
He's already backtracking on his pick. He's had weeks to do this episode.
No, I like the pick. I like the pick. I think it's a great album cover. I don't know if it's my favorite.
But even if it was like
time.
Good album covers, why wouldn't you choose your favorite?
Why don't you choose my favorite isn't necessarily the one that I think looks the coolest.
That's actually what mine is. We'll talk about it later.
All right.
Same thing. Yeah. I'm just glad I didn't pick Wave. Spoiler alert. We bullied Plouf into not picking Waves.
Yeah, pretty much. That album is great, and I love the album art on it. It's not my favorite either, but it was definitely a hot pick.
Okay, well, what is your favorite?
I don't know.
Is there one that like comes to mind of like, this is one of my favorites?
Is it one of those albums from that band, that Mars Volta?
Yeah, probably, actually. So Mars Volta has some really cool album covers. And
is it the one with the thing that looks like a horse on the cover?
No, it's the one with the guy with the bag on his head.
No, it's not that one either. It's Deloused in the Comatorium. It's like a weird head on a platter, and it's shining like a projector light, a beam. It's pretty cool.
Why isn't it Sailing the Seas of Cheese?
Well, I mean, that's a good album cover. Yeah, that's Primus has really good album covers.
Is that the one with that dude in the frying pan that we listened to?
No.
That was Frizzle Fry, I'm pretty sure. Fry, yeah. And then
why isn't it Marcy Playground, the one with the clay head?
That's a great album cover, too. I already chose it, though. And then another one.
I already
one,
chose Sgt. Pepper's. That's a great
that's
album
That's a
cover.
Good one,
that
too.
Is not a good album cover.
It's very busy.
It's not as cool.
That doesn't make it good.
It's like just kind of them on the cover. One that I almost chose was Idea and Abilities, not E and A, but By the Throat. But that's a very aggressive and dark album, and so I didn't really want to choose it for this episode. I might choose it by itself later, but that one's really cool. It's just like a gallery, you're in like an art gallery, and there's a bunch of needles and like warheads and guns and stuff sticking out of the art frame.
This seems like a great time to mention, if you're watching or listening, you should watch on Spotify, because it's a video episode there. So I will mention, or I'll put stuff up on screen so you can see the album covers. I'm not gonna do it for every single one, but for ones that we talk about at length, like that one there,
you should watch
it. Was on screen.
You should watch it, because Bell goes to considerable effort and he sends us a message every time he does it.
I do.
He does. So, he's like, hey guys, I found that thing.
Yep. Yeah. So check it out. Jamie, what about you? Did you pick your favorite? Or do you have one that stands out to you?
This one stands out the most to me.
Yeah.
It's the most visually striking one I think I have. But I have some interesting ones. I'm going to talk about them at the end. I have one where it's like a series of records. So each record, it looks like an Archie comic.
Oh, cool.
That's pretty cool.
And if you have them all together, it kind of tells a story. So I'll talk about those at the end. I think the one I picked is the most visually striking, but I have a lot of ones that I think are really cool. Like, we already covered the Rolling Stones album Exile on Main Street, and that one's kind of cool. It's got all those pictures of like sideshow freaks on the front.
Sure.
Yeah, that's kind of my response too.
Sure. And then we already covered Space Wave, and that one's got like the
big planet.
Big planet on it. That's cool.
Yeah.
Stadium Arcadium is cooler though.
Sure.
Yeah, Stadium Arcadium.
They did
it
first.
Just space.
It's like that. I think I might have even mentioned this before in the Red Hot Chili Peppers. But that kind of reminds me of like that guy on the street in Hollywood that does like the space art with spray paint cans.
Oh yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yeah, that stuff always looks so cool. They make it look so easy.
Mm-hmm. I think I picked my favorite. I have a few, and again, blah, 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 we'll talk about them later. Begonia Fear would be up there. I really like that picture of her with the paint and all that over her face.
That's cool.
That was really cool, but we may as well talk about what we did pick, and then we'll kind of get right into it. So I picked Kin by Electric Guest. Plouf, what did you pick?
I picked Chocolat, and it's a band from Montreal, and it's Rencontre Loulou. I don't know how to pronounce it very well, but the whole thing's French.
Oui, oui. I picked the Moody Blues In Search of the Lost Chord.
And that is the order we'll be doing it in. It'll be me, then Plouf, then Jamie. So if one of those you're excited for, skip to it, but don't.
Yeah, super keen.
Stick through. There are secrets throughout the episodes. Do not skip.
We're doing
listen
a giveaway.
For our magic dollar giveaway.
Yeah. We're doing a 100 follower giveaway. I'm just kidding. let's get right into it. So we start with Electric Guest's Kin, their third album. And I'm stoked to talk about them. Electric Guest is actually like one of my favorite bands. I've been meaning to talk about them for a while. but it's been really hard to decide which album to choose because their first album sounds quite different from their later albums, but we'll kind of get into that later. Electric Guest is made up of singer Asa Tacone, I don't know, and drummer Matthew Compton, who both met in a house rented by a bunch of musicians after Asa took over his friend Danger Mouse's room.
Yeah.
I was like, huh.
Oh, I read that a little bit.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah. That's he was like cool. Close friends with Danger Mouse, took his room, and then met the session drummer, Matthew Compton, who lived there as well. And they were like, yo, let's make music. This rocks. If you're a man in your 30s, there's a chance you recognize Asa's last name. And it's because his brother, Yorma Tacone, who's from the comedy band Lonely Island.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't draw that conclusion.
He's got a famous brother, but he is also just like pretty Poof. Well known. He's not just a little brother. Yeah, he's produced and featured like on a ton of songs with like Portugal the Man and Carly Rae Jepsen. He's done a ton of music production for TV and writing, like American Dad, The Simpsons, and SNL. He actually got a Grammy for his work on Dick in a Box, which went incredibly viral in like 2007.
Yeah.
Great song. Jamie?
Yeah.
You have that tattoo.
Yeah, the Dick in a Box tattoo?
Yeah, it's the guy with his hands up and the box hovering around his crotch.
My favorite Lonely Island thing is that Joanna Newsom, who is Andy Samberg's wife, like met him at a concert, and she's like a new age harpist. She just like harp music, like very ethereal sounding harp music, and she came up to him and was like, "I really love what the hell is that song about? I really love Jizz in My Pants," and like. I can't picture a person who does harp music going, man, I really love Jizz in My Pants.
Yeah, she's very pretty too. I'd be flabbergasted if a woman said that to me.
Anyway, you married her.
Good
that's
for
probably,
him.
That's probably like Andy Samberg, best known for Hot Rod. Wait, is he in the movie?
Yeah, he's the main character. Yeah. Unfortunately, I don't know a whole lot about Matthew, and I wasn't able to really find a whole lot online, so my apologies to him for not saying more. It's kind of the hard thing with smaller bands, right? Like,
yeah.
Their Wikipedia is that
and very short.
One album, because Mondo was quite
popular. I had trouble finding reviews of this album.
Mm-hmm. But the album art's what we're here to talk about. If you're listening on Spotify, again, you can see it on screen. And you might think, interesting choice, Bell, but it's a little simple. I agree. So we're going to kind of, I guess, do this in a weird order, because it's about album art. So I guess we'll talk about it first. The album art is just Electric Guest, and then the word Kin on top. Mm-hmm. Kin is blue, if you're wondering. The rest is black. And then it's like two faces. It's like a guy or a person standing behind another person. And then there's a red stripe wrapping from one face to another. I don't really know how to describe it.
It looked like a face mask.
Yeah. It's very odd.
It's like modern art gallery kind of artwork.
Yeah, and the back is all plain. It's really just this front. And it is simple, but I chose it because the album art is done by my favorite artist, Elevator Teeth. So I actually like follow this creator. And I actually stumbled across Elevator Teeth thanks to Electric Guest's second album.
Whoa.
Plural. Which had art by them.
Yeah, that's similar.
Hey, I like
that. Yeah, it's very similar. So it's like a yellow man with his face coming off, but in between his face coming off is another face.
And they're both smiling.
Yeah, and it's all just like, again, simple, like one, there's two colors on here, red and yellow.
That guy's waving at me.
Yeah, and he's got both of his hands up in a friendly kind of way. And I'm going to say E.T. I don't want to say Electric Teeth over and over again. And I don't mean the alien. I mean Elevator Teeth.
Electric Teeth.
But, you know, it's an odd cover, and I don't know what it was, but I just like was struck by Plural. I was like, wow, that's a really cool album cover. And I searched all over to find the artist, which I have to say, finding album cover artists is hard.
Yes.
Like, yeah. I found one tweet where Electric Guest was like, shout out to Elevator Teeth.
Yeah.
When the album first got announced. Yeah. And I was like, huh, I guess more people should take the time to do that and acknowledge people who made it. But I've been following Elevator Teeth, E.T. ever since then, and like slowly acquiring more and more stuff by them.
Cool.
And
you got another album by them?
I have. I've been collecting a bunch of stuff whenever I have extra money.
Video channel there,
including all of like their zines.
No way.
So I have a bunch of zines,
teenage
I
graphics,
have wow. shirts. I have pin and patches.
Cool.
And stickers? Even a calendar, a 2023 calendar that I bought in 2024. Unfortunately, but
wow,
their art is very like. Dystopia, distant future dystopia hallucination. Like, it's very.
It looks like the tags weird. You would get on an IKEA, a piece of IKEA furniture, but if it was dystopian.
Yeah, it's very odd, but all of their art is like, I think it's Rizzo printed.
Oh, is there a cool crab? I see a crab.
Yeah, it's like got a weird face and brain.
Yo.
But some of the art is actually, let me find it here, straight up what was used for the album covers. So you can see the album cover there, and one of the single color, one of the covers for the singles is in here as well.
Cool.
So I think it's very neat.
I just think they're neat.
Unfortunately, I don't have any prints by them because shipping is crazy for posters.
Yes.
Like, it's just a tube. Why can't I get that for cheaper than like $30 shipping?
Why not get like a canvas print?
I mean, I would love to if they offered it, but they pretty much just do Rizzo prints. So like these really high quality, like museum grade quality stuff.
Like the prints I've got in this house.
Yeah, I would absolutely love it. But I don't know what it is. It really captures this emotion. But again, I can't really find out a whole lot about E.T. I don't really know much about them. His name is Justin.
Phone home.
He's based out of San Diego. And he said that he's not interested in communicating in a direct way, which I think is reflected in this weird style of art of being like kind of vague and letting you draw your own conclusions or feelings from it.
So sounds like something an artist would say.
You just like leave a message for him on a message board or something, and he like starts a new thread to reply to you? What does he mean by not directly?
I think in their art.
That's an interesting art.
I had trouble thinking of how to...
I'm calling out into the ether and hoping that he replies.
How do you speak indirectly to someone?
I found an interview that was just like random little voice clips. He was like responding to questions. I was like, this is a very odd thing, but I like it. As for the music, I think the album's pretty good. It's not my favorite Electric Guest album, and if you listen to their first album, Mondo, which was released in 2012, their new style is very different. Like, it's still good, but their first one is a more traditional instrumentation and leans towards soul music, or as New York Times called it, recession-era pop, whereas their last two albums are more traditional pop, which focuses more on drums and synths instead of, you know, more traditional instruments. I think Plural is my favorite album by them. I think Kin is a bit more consistent, but Plural has a few songs that really stand out, like Bound to Lose, one of my favorite songs. But I won't go too much into Electric Guest because I could go on forever, especially being able to switch genres and still stand out in a bloated pop genre. I think it's very impressive. But yeah, what do you guys think? We haven't done a ton of pop albums. So what do you guys think about this one?
I thought, you know, it was pretty good, but I definitely liked the first half a whole lot more than I liked the second half. It kind of reminded me of Jamiroquai a little bit, but like a little less...
the falsetto?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was definitely part of it. And it was still kind of funky and poppy like Jamiroquai, but not like, you know, it's like 15 years later.
Jamiroquai?
Huh?
Jamiroquai?
I don't know.
Jamiroquai?
I don't know.
Pourquoi?
Candy Heat, baby.
Jamiroquai, pourquoi?
What'd you think, Jamie?
I liked it.
That's great.
Say less.
I sent you a message yesterday, and I said I'm very excited to talk about
which one?
Your picks.
Was it this one?
Yeah, you're like one of them.
Plural.
Oh, picks. Next week's as well. Spoiler alert, we record more than one episode at one time.
Yeah, I'm very excited to talk about both of them. But
wow, so you have nothing to say in the preamble.
No, I think it's great.
That's excellent.
I think this album's fine. But like Plouffe, I think the first half is stronger than the second.
I'm having whiplash.
Yeah.
Like, I'm excited to talk about it.
It's so good. And then
it's so good. It is fine. It's like, okay.
It's you know, it had some good stuff going on. I thought it had some, you know, good use of cheeky saxophone, a little cheeky saxophone in the middle. It's got some good
Yeah, the production here is very high.
Ooh.
These guys know how to produce.
Is there credits for four people on this album? Because I think the Wikipedia page credited four people.
There is like a touring band.
Okay.
So I know some of them are on the album credits.
It's like how Tame Impala is just one guy, but
right. But then he gets
if you see the concert, it's like 15 people.
Yeah, you get session musicians.
Gorillaz is Damon Albarn.
Yeah,
and also Jamie Hewlett. And also 40 other people, I guess. Yeah. It's kind of all over the place. But yeah, the album credits, I've actually not looked at the album itself, and there was no wiki page for this album. But I know in the Apple Music credits, there was like usually three to four people.
Apple Music does a better job at like having its own little Apple Music review sometimes too. And this one has like a little blurb.
Yeah, I've noticed that as well. One thing actually, while we're on Apple Music, the lyrics are botched. So if you're looking at the lyrics while you're listening to this...
They're okay on Spotify.
Yeah, it was like, what is going on? These cannot be trusted because there's like an error in almost every song. This comes with a lyric insert. So I was reading them along and being like, what is going on here?
It's okay,
I don't know if they're auto-genned, but they need someone to sort it out because this is like the second Final Verdict or third time where I've noticed the lyrics are wrong.
Wow. Yeah.
Interesting.
Thanks, Apple Music.
It was a real peanut butter pudding surprise.
Truly. Truly.
Peanut butter pudding surprise.
It took a lot not to say it as well. I agree. Well, why don't we give one last listen and just dive right into it.
Sure. Ooh, I got a dollar in my pocket. See you when I really want to rock it. I'm trying to have some fun. to start a show. That's all I really know is it's a nice song. Who are they? Spot looking for something that you'll never find. I hope that I'm the one to prove you wrong. 24/7. Cause every night I end up at your door. We're waiting for a new way. Freestyle.
I got a dollar in my pocket.
Yeah, you do.
Dollar. A song about how, though things are tough and there's a lot to be anxious about, sometimes you just got to go and have some fun. Am I right, guys?
Yeah.
Sure.
I like the piano intro on this one that just kind of like slowly morphs into being synths instead of a traditional piano. I was like, that's neat.
Yeah, the whole thing was pretty good. I really liked his falsetto voice. Even with I feel like they use, maybe he's just doing something with his voice, but I feel like they use a little bit of effects sometimes. Not much, mostly in the chorus. But it still sounds pretty good. And yeah, it just sounds ever so slightly warbly sometimes. Not in a bad way.
Yeah, there's some parts where the harmonies will come in and kind of warble as well. And like kind of almost like a dissonant way, but just a little bit. So you kind of catch it a bit more.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
I like it.
It's fine. I normally don't like a bunch of voice effects, but this one was totally okay.
What did you think about his voice?
It changes different on different tracks.
Mm-hmm. Because I know falsetto, especially for a whole song or whole songs at a time, it can be tough.
Yeah.
It can be tough to listen to, let alone do. But like, I know it's come up with like Tom York. Sometimes you're like, I'm done with Tom York's high
the
voice
Bee Gees.
Or like that. The Bee Gees.
You get three falsettos.
Yeah. But you guys don't mind it in this one?
No. I mean, I like a lot of falsetto, though.
I definitely thought he was a black woman when I first listened
to it. Did you actually?
Yeah, especially in the first album. I was like, this is a black woman.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I thought
just like, what's this guy from the last topic?
Sure.
The guy you picked.
I remember. Oh,
the Jamie guy. Thought it was a black guy.
I thought it was a black dude.
Oh, George Ezra.
George Ezra. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good one. I like the horns. It's a good touch.
Yeah. Yeah, I like
I kind of like how you can still kind of tell they're digital, but it's just like...
I like the synthy horns and the horny synths.
Yo!
Yeah, because I wasn't sure what they were. But I really like them. I thought, that's really upbeat, positive lyrics. It was a good song.
Every time it comes on, because like I've listened to them a lot, I'm always like, oh, I'm probably going to skip this. But then I just start like kind of grooving along to it. I'm like, it's not bad.
It gets better around a minute.
Yeah. It's a little cheesy, like the message of it, but I like how the thing's causing anxiety very wildly in severity. It's like being sued, not being played on the radio, being killed, being booed on stage. I'm like, this is, I guess, those are all things to be nervous about, but like.
It has a little cheeky little saxophone in it.
Mm-hmm.
Saxophone.
Yeah, it's good.
Saxophone.
Up next, One for Me.
This is the most poppy song on the whole album.
Interesting.
I think it's the most poppy sounding one.
Really? I liked the really low bass notes.
Yeah.
That almost sound like if you just pick up an electric bass, but you don't like run it through an amp or anything.
Mm.
I thought the horns were really good again. You hear that? Yeah. It's almost like they're playing a bass without an amp on it.
Yeah. I made a note about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't have a ton to say about the song. The next song, I have an interesting observation about his voice.
We're not there
yet. We'll save it for
the
next song. Yeah. I haven't said a word about this one. I love this song. The production is so good.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I love the simple, almost muted sounded synths and the strings that start off the song before guitars and more full sounding strings join at the chorus. The song is also a good reflection of Ace's range as he sings in a lower key compared to the falsetto for almost all of Dollar. And the bridge at 151 is pretty darn good. I like the pace change without completely derailing the song. As I know that was a complaint I had with George Ezra. I'm like, this bridge is completely different. Mm. Feels very weird. And then there's a nice little guitar solo at like 2 minutes and 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Just to like kind of keep things moving.
Yeah, it's a little cheeky little guitar solo.
It's a good track.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Say it, Jamie.
More.
I'm trying to place a finger on his voice, like what it sounds like. And I
place
described
a finger.
It,
that's an odd thing to say.
I think... I described it as, it's Timberlake, not Timberlake. It's Timberlake.
Timberland?
Yeah, no, it's different.
What does that mean?
It's like Justin Timberlake, but it's Timberlake.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Same but different.
Okay.
I don't know. I didn't know how to describe it.
It's almost like the way he's singing, not the voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can kind of get that.
Yeah. I don't know how to describe it. That was the only real... I like the little staccato guitar thing at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Or throat, I guess.
Yeah. This song feels like a modern doo-wop song. Like a pop song from the 40s. I don't know if that's when doo-wop was around, but I mean that in a good way. This is a longer song, but I think the last minute and a half is pretty solid. Mm-hmm. So like I was listening to it and I was like, oh, I feel like you could probably cut like a minute from this. And then it immediately changed up and I was like, oh, okay. I guess it's fine.
I kind of did think that you could cut a little. I felt like it drags on a little bit. And I think that they, like, I feel like I should enjoy the ending where they, like, layer the lyrics together. But I didn't think that the song changed enough for the whole duration, so I got kind of bored. It's not bad. Like, I really liked how it kind of picks up when it gets to the chorus. I liked how layered the whole song was. But overall, yeah, I feel like they could have cut it down a little bit. It was okay.
Yeah, it's kind of on the border of too poppy. I think it lands on the side of fun to listen to, but yeah. It is pretty close. At 2:30 on, the production value kind of steps forward with a more restrained reverb, fun pulsating synths, a great call and answer style harmonies. But I feel like it kind of feels like a Meghan Trainor song where I'm like, and I mean that in a negative way,
yeah.
But I could imagine Meghan Trainor singing a song like this, in a bad way.
Sure.
Jamie has a stink face.
I don't like what you just said. No. Put it in a bad way.
In a bad way. It's a Meghan Trainor song. Up next, 24/7. One of my favorite Electric songs.
Yeah, it's got a nice little staccato guitar thing.
6:15 on the clock watch is one of my favorite intro lines because I've never heard clock watch before.
That's a tough one.
6:15 on the clock watch. It's like, what the hell's that?
Yeah, you know, I never thought about it.
It's Jamie, you're old. Did they ever call it a clock
no.
watch?
No. It's like when they make up words.
Watch. I've still never heard someone say a clock watch ever since I heard this.
It's like the Steve Miller Band.
Like watch face, but like
clock watch.
Clock watch.
What's the pompatoose of love?
The pompatoose of love. I don't know.
It's the clock watch.
Yeah. I like the really light drum beat, and I thought the chorus is really good. It's got very cute lyrics, romantic lyrics. It doesn't change much throughout, but it's okay.
His timber-like voice.
Yeah, it's another love song, but surprisingly none of the songs so far, which have also all been love songs, have sounded similar, so it doesn't feel repetitive.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's like another love song, another love song, another love song, but it doesn't feel bad.
Sometimes that's the whole theme, and that's okay.
Yeah, it's not on this album, but on top of instrumentally sounding different, they're all expressing love in a different way, which lyrically keeps things fresh. And I like this more innocent depiction of love where it's just like this honeymoon phase where you think about them all the time and you talk on the phone for hours, but somehow you still go, well, I don't know that they like me back. It's like, okay, well, you talk on the phone for hours, like clearly they do. I like the fun choruses with the paired really high and quite low distorted voices. It's a simple song. I think the drum work stands out as well. It's slow, simple, and kicks in to accentuate different thoughts without completely overtaking other instruments and vocals.
Yeah.
Up next, Freestyle.
I like the spooky synth that comes in before the chorus.
Mm-hmm.
Rather enjoyed that.
Oh, I love this one.
It's way too long.
You thought it was too long?
I don't mind because it's really fresh through like, a lot of it.
Yeah, I actually didn't. I normally don't like when songs are too long, but I didn't think it was too long. It's got a cool beat. I don't know what the sound is. It's almost like a hollow tube or something, but I really liked it.
You're talking about the ooh. No, that's voices.
Yeah. That's definitely voices.
That's someone going, ooh.
I can't make the noise, but it's like a hollow drum.
Yeah, oh, like yes. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, like a hollow tube kind of thing. Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, it is long. It's 4 minutes long, which doesn't sound long, but for a pop song.
This album, yeah.
It's quite a vibe switch. It's a song about going, things not going according to plan. You got to act fast and figure it out as you go. I enjoy the darker vibe on this one. The fast synths pulsating throughout almost the entire song.
I liked it.
There's also like weird electronic glitch sounds that are very high pitched, but not painful.
Yeah.
That pop up periodically. And that relentless fast pace gets me going. And the pre-synths with like pre-chorus with the falling synths into the chorus mesmerized me. I'm like, this is great.
This is cool.
And then there's the heavily processed strings and everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It is really good. It gives me a stink face. So you know it's good. I'm like, yeah.
I thought maybe it was like 40 seconds too long.
Yeah.
I can see why. And that's fine because it is, it's meant to be a pop album. So they should be like three and a half minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But I liked it. I thought 4 minutes was okay.
It certainly doesn't drone on and on. It's not one of those songs that has like an endless like outro, like Hey Jude or something.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah. There's a short bridge at 3 minutes that's also quite good. And it's got heavy tambourines that kind of like keep the pace up.
Yeah.
And it quickly transitions to a slow, warping final chorus before wrapping up with more synths and distorted vocals.
Yeah, that's good.
It's probably my favorite song of the album. And it's the end of side A.
Dang.
It is the turning point.
That is 100% a strong first side. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, first side, solid. Every time I listen to it, I'm like, wow, how did I forget this album so good? And then side B, I'm like, all right. It's like, this side's fine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not, yeah. Yeah, side two is not bad.
No.
But like, oh my God, is it ever so much stronger side A than side B? Like, it's very, yeah, it's very interesting. Obvious.
Apparently, never mind. I'm thinking about facts from the second album. But anyways, the next song is I Got Money. It's not my favorite. I find the up-pitched I Got the Money in the chorus to be kind of grating.
Money.
I like the bit of acoustic guitar in it. Mm-hmm. And I like the electric guitar throughout the rest of the track. There's just those like long, slow notes that fit the funky vibe. I don't know if their guitar, maybe it's something else, but...
yeah, it could be something else.
It's like almost disco at times.
Money.
I thought the part with the 92.3, the flame, is kind of fun.
I like that. It happens at 222 in the weird warped radio.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. And it's got a fun chorus. This is probably like my favorite song on this side.
Mm. Okay. I'd say. Yeah. I like the repetition of the like money. And the number, he there's another voice that just says money a bunch of times. Yeah. I'd get behind that.
Yeah.
Money.
Yeah.
I do like the verses, and I agree the guitar work is pretty good. Some of the lyrics are a bit cheesy, and even though he's acknowledging how he sounds old by saying, I miss the days before everyone had phones, and the internet really messed with people's minds, you're still saying it earnestly, so even if you're acknowledging the fact it sounds cheesy, it is cheesy.
Let's be real. It's pretty true.
Yeah, but it doesn't make it like unique or something that
it's
needs
not,
to be said.
Yeah.
And I agree. I like the warped radio bridge. I'm not sure if it signifies him disconnecting his phone and just listening to the radio, but it's a cool effect.
I thought it was just like a sign of simpler times when people used to listen to the radio a lot more. Maybe. But who knows?
Yeah, it's like that's true. It's like thinking back, and that's why it's distorted.
Yeah,
I like it. It again shows off that production.
Yeah.
That they're so good at. Next is Basic.
This is where I started to actively hate the sound effects on his voice.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's auto-tune.
That one has a lot of that warbly.
Yeah.
I don't have a visceral reaction to that at all.
I can't tell if it's like auto-tune or something else, but it just makes him warbly or weird, and I can't stand it. It's mostly in the intro and the chorus, but it really turned me off. I think the rest of the song is fine. I like the I don't know if it's like a digital tambourine kind of sound that's going on.
It's like an egg shaker or something.
Yeah.
I like the really deep bass. Mm-hmm. It's like a deep bass.
Yeah, it's a darker song. Yeah. And it shifts the tone of the album. Because like the next songs stay kind of darker as well.
Get out, play with
It's another heartbreak song. The lyrics are fine. The production's great. I just feel it's too repetitive.
Sure.
And dare I say, basic.
Boom.
I do have to give the bridge at 205. 2 minutes and 5 seconds credit. As the introduction of some light guitar plucking adds quite a bit to the song and the vibe. It'd be interesting to hear a version of the song that has more guitar work because it really stands out as quite pretty and gives the lyrics more impact, where it's just like there's some plucking along.
Yeah.
Just like the lyrics in that.
Finger picking.
But it's fine.
Yeah.
Get out.
Get out.
Get out.
It's got a huge fan.
It's got a sample on it.
Does it?
Yeah.
What was the sample?
What is it?
At the beginning, the guy's like, something's gonna get out. It's like a voice at the beginning, yeah.
Right. Yeah, I don't know what it's from.
I don't know what it's from.
Yeah.
It's the only one I noticed. Like, I didn't immediately remember the one that where you guys would... Oh, 92.3.
Now that I
think about it, yes, I do remember it, but I didn't write it down. It didn't stand out for me. This one stands out for me. I wrote it down.
Oh, yeah. So you don't like this house? You better get it while you can, or I'll lay you on your butt.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fine. This is kind of bland. It's not long of a song, which is nice, but like Basic, it's just too repetitive, and I don't feel like it's really adding much to the album.
Fair.
I wrote that it's just kind of more of the same. I think that they sound too poppy without the extra digital layers, like the synths, and I don't like it nearly as much as when they use them sparingly. Mm-hmm. And then the backing track is just kind of weird, around 1.5 minutes.
Yeah.
And I could do without Get Out.
Mm-hmm. I didn't hate it, though.
It's not awful, but like... I don't know. It's not a long album, so it's hard to cut songs, but I'd cut this one probably. Yeah.
Next is Play With Me. I like this a bit more, but it feels kind of similar to Get Out, so it starts off feeling repetitive because it's like this beat is very similar.
Yeah.
We've kind of had this. It's got a little piano line in the background, though. It's okay.
Yeah, it's nice. And I like the outro of this. He sings sheesh so perfectly.
I know. I wrote, I like when he sings sheesh.
I'm like, dang, he's really killing it.
I thought Bell wrote the, that's where Bell gets his sheesh from.
It's nuts. I wish I could do sheesh that perfectly.
Yeah. I thought this one needed more production. He's a really good singer, but I don't think that his voice or the lyrics are interesting enough, like on their own, to just stand alone on the track to really elevate it. So I just like more. Just a bit more.
Mm-hmm. I'm next. Birthday. I like this one.
This is probably the one of the more poppy songs on this side.
Yeah.
Is it just the strings that make you think poppy?
I don't know.
I thought this
was... The light airiness.
It's better than the last three. And I also did like the strings. I think they're fast and kind of sharp.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's... this is the first song in a while that I've kind of enjoyed, so that's good. The strings and the guitar are great in this one. It makes for a more fun beat that's more unique than the last three songs.
Yeah.
And I like this premise of like how he saw his partner was unhappy, or he couldn't see that his partner was unhappy, even though he thought he was providing her everything she wanted, a house and money. And she's like clearly unhappy. He even acknowledges the fact that she's like ignoring him and checking her phone and wants to do stuff, but then still interprets it as she took what she wanted from me and now she's leaving.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. So it's like you've been blinded to your partner, which is too bad. And I like the beat switch at 307 that ends the song.
Oh, I hated that.
It feels
that.
Like he's disassociating.
I hated that. I thought they could have just ended the song instead. Yeah, I did not like the change.
I have the opposite. I said the end is so good. Why was the beginning just okay?
Yep, I like it too.
I wouldn't mind if it was like its own thing. I just don't like how it changes the whole song for like a little bit and then it's done.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, me too.
That's fine.
Yeah, it's a tonal like
this,
shift.
This, again, he's lost his partner. He's disassociating. It's all going away. And I don't know. Like, it's cool. It sounds very cool.
Yeah.
And then the last song on the album, Max It Out. It's an interesting way to end the album. It's like there's the backing track's like a party in another room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the whole time. So I was like, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's like Marvin Gaye's What's Going On, where it's like a party going on, except that album was good. And then this song
what are you
okay.
talking about?
I thought this you liked just this okay. album.
This album. No,
he's
sorry.
Excited to talk about it.
Sorry, I meant like, except like this song is not.
Sure.
It's not my favorite. It's not a great way of ending the album.
I wrote that it's kind of lame, to be honest. Nothing here really does it for me. I wasn't crazy about the distant synths. It's not. I thought that it was an okay ending to the album, though.
Yeah, I don't know what the song means. I like it, I think, though. It's just kind of fun to listen to with its interesting sounds, its reverbs, its vocalizing. But it doesn't really leave an impact.
It didn't do anything for me, yeah.
But
I didn't hate it. I just didn't. It didn't do anything for
no.
me. You will be surprised with my review.
Yeah, well, why don't we take a look at the album itself? So obviously we described the front. The back is just red with the songs on the back split up by side and obviously all the things it needs to have. The bad thing, what I didn't mention about the cover, is that it has like water damage.
Oh, no.
I only noticed it today. There's like discoloration on the right side. So I don't know how, because it'd be put into my...
Is it old? How long have you had it?
I don't know.
Was it raining the day you moved?
Maybe, but I haven't noticed anything else, so I feel nervous now. And the front has a lot of cover wear and ring wear, because I don't have enough plastic sleeves. I got to buy more, and I keep forgetting.
You guys made fun of me in my plastic sleeves.
I need some.
I have a bunch that I've saved. Did you want them?
I want some. Yeah. There's an inner thing, and it's got all the song lyrics, which is how I was able to tell things were wrong. And then we've got credits on the back as well that have production instruments, writing credits, all that stuff for every song. And the record is just black. It's 180 gram. And it is the people's faces. So one person's face per side. My only complaint, and the reason why I'm pulling it out, even though we know what the cover looks like, is it big pet peeve. So this face is facing like this.
Yeah.
You flip it over, and this face, like it's not aligned so that the faces actually bleed into each other. The stickers are off.
They just didn't put the label on right.
Stinks.
Yeah.
And something that you'll never actually notice when you're listening to it, but anyway.
It's upsetting, though.
I like this album. I don't know how much I paid for it. Actually, I might have written it down. I did. Okay, so I paid $18 for this.
Okay, that's fine.
US absolutely. Dollars.
Yeah, 100%.
It's fine.
Okay.
It's a good price. I got Mondo and Kent at the same time, and the total was like $50, which is super reasonable considering shipping to the middle of nowhere where I lived at the time.
Yeah.
I want a poster of the cover because I love the cover. It sucks that it's damaged. Like, I'll I would consider rebuying it if it was again for about $20.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I really do like this album. I really love the artworks. But yeah, why don't we talk about the album as a whole? Ploof, do you have a vinyl verdict?
Yeah, you know, they had me in the first half, not gonna lie, but then my interest really waned as the album dragged on. Most of the second half just needed a bit more production, I felt, and I started getting tired of the singer's voice. I think Kin is an all right album, but I don't find it to be like super unique or impressive, just kind of good. I think that if you like falsetto singing and some decent digital production, you'll probably like it. But maybe I didn't listen to their earlier stuff, but maybe check out their other albums instead. And I thought it was a solid 7 out of 10.
Not bad. Jamie, you're chomping at the bit? We've done this before, but I can't remember. Chomping at the bit.
It's a 9 out of 13. See you next week.
Wow.
That's the highest Jamie's ever written one of my albums.
No, that's is it? I don't know. I liked it. It was fine. I had fun with it.
Yeah, it's a good time.
I had fun writing my notes. And you know what? I had fun with the one from next week, too.
Whoa, spoiler, tune in.
Or did I?
Two bangers back-to-back, good for me.
Who knows?
Yeah, I like this album. I think the album's telling a story about how success and money has changed them or this character. The album starts off about how talking about how they're broke, but in love, to finding success and getting money, and how that changes things. Because all of a sudden, his love of interest is basic. He pushes people away. He thinks people's taking advantage of him. And then he finds himself alone on his birthday, looking at how happy his ex is. That's fine, but like a story can't carry the album being lackluster in that second half, which is kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
Though it's not my favorite Electric Guest album, I still like a lot of it and play it pretty often, especially that first side. And it's a cheaper way of having Elevator Teeth's art in my house until I can save up enough to get a piece from them, because I definitely want some. If you cut three or four songs from this, I think it'd be an absolute banger EP.
Yeah.
I think if you cut three songs from this and three to four songs from Plural, and you put those together, you would get one absolute banger album. I'm putting this in the ninth spot above Being Somewhere by Dan Mangan and below Lola versus the Power Man by the Kinks. I'd recommend checking out Mondo if you have any interest or you want to hear how much they've changed over the last couple of years. And I 100% recommend checking out Elevator Teeth on Instagram or at hardcoreambient.com. Use our affiliate link down below. Just kidding. We don't have that. But check them out.
Offer Bloof. Code.
Yeah. So,
pronounce this for us.
Chocolat. Rencontre.
That means chocolate.
Lulu, which is meet Lulu. I'm pretty sure. I think it's
find Lulu.
Find Lulu, maybe.
Yeah, finding Lulu, I believe, is what it translates to.
I don't know.
I read all the lyrics in English because I just hit translate.
You can, that's smart. I didn't do that at all
on the Genius page.
Oh, that's pretty clever, Jamie. I didn't think to do that.
You know, that's what they call me.
This is a.
It's meat, by the way.
Huh?
It is meat.
It is meat. Nice. Excellent. Nice. this came out in 2016, and they're a modern Canadian band from Montreal, Quebec, playing a mix of, I don't know, psych rock and jazz fusion, kind of. It's a little weird and kind of all over the place at times. We've got Jimmy Hunt on vocals and guitar. The rest of these names I'm going to butcher. Isael Pepin on bass, Emmanuel Etier on guitar, and then Brian Hildebrand on drums. Oh, and Christophe Lamarche-Ledoux on sax and keyboards.
That's a great name.
Yeah, it's a good name.
Oui, oui.
Yeah, so Yellowknife has this music festival every summer called Folk on the Rocks. Sometimes it gets some bigger Canadian artists. They've had like Gob, Shred Kelly, Tegan and Sarah, Winter
Shred
Sleep.
Shred Kelly. That's funny hearing them on a list of big Canadian artists.
They're good. Not huge. Yeah. Not Gob. Huge. City and Color, North Coast. Gob was forever ago. To be fair, Gob was when I was in like middle school.
Sloan.
But, oh wow.
Great Big C.
When I don't know if they do it now, but when I was a teenager, they do Battle of the Bands, and then the winner gets to play at the festival, which was like really cool growing up. So there's a lot of high school band stuff when I was a teenager. Anyway, in 2016, I went and I saw these guys on some random stage just walking by, and I stayed for their whole set. I really enjoyed it. Didn't understand a single thing they were saying because I don't speak French. But it was so good and I really dug the vibe. So I went to their merch booth and bought the record right after. I chose this one because the album art is just kind of surreal and badass. It's like an old, like, psych rock metal album, kind of.
Yeah.
It's funny. It's almost like the new corporate art style just dingy stuff.
So Evel Knievel with the guitar head,
yes,
is coming out of a portal, and the logo in the bottom like left looks like portal. Death Leopard.
It's like a molten lava, digital lava.
You can
lava.
See it going around his feet, and the
there's
TV's
a laughing cat
it.
And a not laughing cat.
Yep, there's two there's cats, pyramids.
And then it looks like the Def Leppard font in the bottom.
Yeah, that's what I said. That's what I said. Yeah.
And it's all going in his house, but his house is like a castle because there's like this furniture, like a TV and a couch, and then there's like floating cars in the sky and pyramids in the background. I don't know.
It's all lyrics from the album.
Yes,
it is.
Yes, is it actually?
It's 1,000%.
That's so cool. I didn't even know
I speak
that.
Enough French to know some of the words.
That's cool. Evel Knievel's in English. That's good. Because
Does he have LEDs on his nipples?
I don't see any.
Dang.
He's nippleless on the cover.
Nippleless Cage.
And then on the... Oh, that's good. And then on the back is like this, I don't know, stage or spaceship or something. And what's really cool is the track titles... are in
like in the broken window.
Yeah, and they're in this like weird font.
Wavy.
Very wavy and artistic, and I just really liked it as soon as I saw it. I was already going to buy the album, and then they pulled this out, and I was like, oh yeah, that's sick.
Yeah, that's a good stuff.
Yeah. So,
I like how he's waving at the guy, too.
Yeah, he's just waving at Evel.
He's got really long fingers.
What up? They are very long
fingers. His hand
looks
like a broom.
It's true. But yeah, it's just, I don't know, it's good. I think it's cool. And so I chose it. I've got a lot of other really cool album covers that I had trouble choosing from. I picked like five and kind of narrowed it down. But I settled on this. And I don't know, I still like it today after listening to it again, like almost 8 years later. I don't think it's perfect. And it's not like my favorite album of all time. But I enjoyed it. What'd you guys think?
Spoiler alert, I really enjoyed this album. I didn't know what to expect going in. I didn't know what it was going to sound like when I started listening to it. And by the time I got to the end, I was like, oh, okay, that's what that was. And I liked it.
Yeah, this album rocks.
Yeah.
I also had no idea.
Right.
And then you can't even get an idea because the first song is so different from the rest of it. And I could just bounce back and forth. I never heard of Chocolat before, obviously, but I was intrigued by the French song titles. I think French is a beautiful language for singing.
Oh, so yeah, sure.
That was exciting. Are excited. And the album cover grows hard.
100%.
So I was like, I don't know what to expect. It's just psychedelic as the genre for Apple Music. I was like, okay, let's go into this.
Yeah.
And pretty much enjoyed it front to back.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Right.
It's very, very good. None of the songs super long.
No.
Not a whole lot of lyrics. And my basic French, I was able to understand most of the words. And I was like, cool, this is pretty good.
Spoiler, I was a little enhanced while I was walking around Folk in the Rocks and stumbled upon their stage.
No, this would have been great enhanced.
Right? I fantastic. Yeah, I literally like was watching, or I was walking by, and I heard it, and I just turned, and I just stood there for like 40 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Don't do drugs.
But yeah, we can listen to it one more time before we get into the tracks.
Let's do it.
Okay, so Honest Mieux K-R-E-M, which is we're better.
We are
R-E-M.
Better than R-E-M. And that's what the chorus says.
Yeah. We are better. We are better. We are better than. We are better than R-E-M. Do they mean sleep or the band?
No, it could it's the band.
Probably the band.
To be fair, true.
True.
Oof.
Yeah.
Yeah, this song
that's
is
a
great.
Bad take.
I love this jazzy feel. It bums me out that this wasn't the whole album.
I don't disagree.
It's so good.
I like the rest of it, but yeah, that it tripped me up when I was hearing it because I came in right when they were starting. So they basically played this front to back when
I'm
saw
so jealous.
Them. And it started with this like weird jazzy kind of intro, and I'm like, oh, I like this. And then they busted out like some cool electric guitar, and I was like, oh, I'm sold.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
it's so clear these guys are French Canadian. Right? I looked it up after, and I was like, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah,
because they're talking about hockey and oil sands, which is a very Canadian thing to talk about.
And Cherry Coke.
Very, very good.
Yeah.
I wish the song was longer.
Yeah, sure.
I felt that a couple times in this album, but this one for sure, I was like, that wish this was longer.
Yeah. I like the saxophone and the light guitar noodling, the kind of slow jazzy drums. It's very chill. He's got a decent voice, you know? Mm-hmm. Not like amazing. He's not.
You don't
standout.
Hear very much.
Nope. He's not a standout singer. He doesn't need to be, but yeah. Then we get Ah We.
Yeah, the problem with this last song is it leads into this, which is a huge vibe switch.
100%.
Like, it was so unexpected. I was like, whoa. The lyrics are funny, though. Because it talks about a woman who says she likes writers but prefers musicians because they're better with their hands. And then he's like, I think she wants us to touch her boobs.
Yeah.
And then she says she's not beautiful, but she's sexy like Gandhi.
That's it's a weird...
Like, oh, yeah. I picked up on Gandhi, and I was wondering what they were talking
this
about.
This is how we know this is a French-Canadian band, because they mix in random English words. Like, there's probably a French word for sexy, but they just say sexy.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's how you know... there's something about French-Canadian that's just wild. It's just like you'd be talking to someone, and they're just like, computer. And like, yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's why I've figured out that French and Quebec French were not the same.
No, they're very different.
We learned Quebec French, obviously, in Canada. And it's like, helicopter.
Yeah, yeah.
Ballet. Bicyclette. It's like, just like the English word. Okay, sure.
You go to France and you start talking in Quebec French, and they'll talk to you in English.
Oh, God. Okay, I have a story about talking Quebec French in France real quick. I was at the Louvre many years ago, which is an art museum.
It's a very famous. I don't know if you need to specify that it's an art museum. It's pretty famous.
Anyway, I asked where the bathroom was, but I used my Quebec French to ask where it was, and they said, "Oh, you must be from Canada because you're speaking the truck driver French."
Oh my gosh.
The truck driver French.
Yeah. Well, back to the song. Yeah. This song is a banger.
Yeah, it's good.
It is a banger.
Yeah. I it's got good singing. I like the guitar line. I really dig the bass line quite a bit. Across the whole album, I really like the bassist. I love it when the saxophone comes in near the end, and then it trades off with the guitar. That it's really cool. And this one's short and sweet at like 2.5 minutes.
Apparently, when, like the win, the word, is the expression of sadness as a sound.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Win.
Win.
Win. Win.
Golden Age. Another banger.
Yeah.
I love the pacing of this one. The lyrics are simple yet provocative with about how we weren't expecting a Golden Age. It's like, wow. Here it is. We did it.
What's interesting is that the French lyrics just say Golden Age.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
My only complaint on this whole thing is they could have cut the like two notes of tuning or testing or whatever at the very start. Just cut it. Just cut it and get into the song.
Yeah,
the rest of the song.
I don't like that fake.
Yeah.
It's like when songs have count-ins. I'm like, you're recording this. Just cut it. No, Plouffe.
I'm okay with count-ins.
We've had this discussion before.
I'm
you're
okay
wrong.
With count-ins.
1, 2, 3, 4. Stupid. It's a podcast.
The vocals are so good. The lead singer just shouting out into the ether after like a minute of instrumental build-up part. It's so good.
Yeah.
And that shout's pure ecstasy. I didn't expect to be okay with a guy having just a pure O in my ear, but here we are. I was like, this is great.
It's such a good crescendo, too, because they really build up to it nicely.
And it's then not long enough.
No, but then
it takes a minute for the vocals, and then it ends a minute later. I'm like, no.
I really dig the like hard rock electric guitar, especially near the end. It's nothing special. Like, I wouldn't say any of this is particularly...
I like how short they are. They're not long enough for you to not like them.
100%.
Oh, I want it, but I do like it. So give me more.
See them live. If they ever come through, we'll go check them out.
Le Pyramids.
Yeah.
My God, the screeching guitar that sounds like a saxophone.
Oh, yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah.
The fact that you got that sound of a guitar, I was like, my God.
Yeah, I love those screaming guitar notes.
It is so fire.
Yeah.
The pyramids were vibrating. What does it mean?
I
have no idea, but
vibing.
The words are nice.
Yeah. It makes you
sounds
vibrate.
Good.
Yeah.
It's got a great drum intro. I really like the cadence of the singing. I think it fits perfectly with like those long intro notes to fit the guitar, followed by something a lot more sped up and steady to kind of fit the drums.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. There's nothing special going on. It's just all really tight and cohesive, and it's really good.
The last 30 seconds, it switches to like an MGMT song, and it just crashes out.
Yeah.
Like, it just is like, here's something different, and over.
Over.
I was like, oh, okay.
And then we get Retrouvé Lulu, which I'm guessing is Retrieve Lulu.
Mm.
Yeah. This one's almost punk with vocals that are a little distorted, maybe just hard rock. I don't know. I like the guitar solo. It's another short one at 2.5 minutes, but it's a good song.
Yeah, who are the Hells? Hells that he's hanging out with?
That's
what I want to know. I was trying to figure that out. Sorry. Who is Lulu? Where is Lulu? Why is Lulu? Those are my questions.
Find Lulu.
What is Lulu?
Find her.
Yeah, finding
her. It's another big...
This is the first song that they mentioned pretzels on. They mentioned pretzels on two different songs. No, three different songs on this album.
Yeah, Eyes of Pretzels is one of them.
Yeah. And then pretzels is just in English. So that's what popped out for me.
And it's like pretzels, freckles, Coke, Evel Knievel. It's like, okay, a lot of English words in this one.
The song reminded me of The Hives. Remember the band The Hives?
Oh, yeah, I haven't thought of The Hives in like 20 years.
Yeah, I hate to say I told you so, but this reminds me of the Hives.
Yeah, it's another vibe change. It's a crunchy classic rock song, and they describe Jamie. Eats pretzels, drink Coke, LED on nipples.
Jamie to a T.
Yeah.
You said you wouldn't talk about my LED nipples.
But who is Lulu?
Where is Lulu?
What?
Find Lulu.
Yeah.
No. Song goes hard.
Yeah.
It's solid.
I like
song
it.
Song goes hard.
Then we get Koya Niskatsi.
This song sucks.
Apparition.
They really
you don't
put
like
in,
it?
No, it sucks.
This one's totally different from like the rest of the album.
Yeah, it sucks.
I kind of like the like dark synth vibe change from the keyboards.
It's so long.
It does not fit the rest of the album at all.
It's the longest on the album randomly. Okay, it's second longest.
Yeah.
But stinks. It's based on the song or the score for the movie Koya Niskatsi.
Koya Niskatsi, I think.
Yeah, it's like, what? And the only reason I know that is because friend of the podcast, Jonathan Horst from Mac Address, likes Philip Glass.
Oh, okay, sure.
This stinks. I don't want to listen to this. It doesn't fit the album at all.
I skipped the
last half of the song, so I don't know if it changes up because I got tired of listening to it.
Yeah, it's I wrote that the song really doesn't fit the album, and I think they should have cut it. As much as I personally do enjoy it, I would like a whole album
Space
of
Wave.
That. Yeah, put on Space Wave or something.
I really like this song.
Of course you do.
You like Space Wave.
I think
Wave.
It's good, but it doesn't fit at all.
Perhaps not. I don't know. It's all over the place.
It is. It absolutely is.
Find Lulu, hard rock to just wail.
It felt like we were Kraftwerking out here.
Yeah.
And not in a bad way. I like Kraftwerk.
Luckily, it starts side B, so you can just skip it.
Yeah. And then we get Lulu. We finally found her.
There she is.
Lulu is a conspiracy theorist.
This one gets a lot more chill. I once again wish I knew what he was saying, but I like his voice and I dig the vibe.
Well,
what's
Google
he saying
Translate
about?
Is your friend.
What
is
what
Lulu?
He makes us dream.
Is Lulu the crazy person or is Lulu just there? I can't remember. I don't have the lyrics up, but.
He has a t-shirt full of old poutine.
Hell
yes.
Yeah.
That's how you know they're Canadian.
Yo.
The first line mentions poutine. Yeah, so my French is pretty rusty. I tried to use Google Translate, but some of it didn't make sense. So I was like, that's not what that word means, but it was good to get an idea. I also really like the intensity switch up at a minute 30.
Yeah.
As it shifts from more psychedelic to more crunchy rock as it describes the horror of this person or God.
Yeah.
Like, because it kind of bounces back and forth.
Another pretzel reference.
This one was great live. Like, this was probably like the best song they played live.
I also like how they mentioned how. Again, this person or God is a hermaphrodite. And then it uses he and she pronouns to describe different features of
that's
this.
Cool.
So it's like he has a head of metal. She has this. He has. I was like, oh, that's neat.
Yeah.
I don't understand the song, but I do understand the line about being an ant drowned in popsicle juice. And I thought that's a dream come true, man. Imagine being an ant drowned in popsicle juice. The last moment's a bliss as you're drinking that sweet, sweet sugar.
Give me the nectar.
Honestly.
Oh, man. The heavy riff. After about a minute and 40.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Killer.
It's fantastic.
Killer.
Yeah. Great guitar solo. Then we get Mars, which is like another complete change.
It's pretty and wavy.
It's suddenly light and airy again. And I like it. It's still good.
We're going to Mars for either 2 years or the rest of our lives. There's no in between.
That's the lyrics?
Yeah. This is a good spacey song. Very floaty and hypnotic. It kind of fits.
Kind of.
But.
It's not as bad as, or not fitting as Apparition.
Yeah.
But it's definitely a little different from the rest. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I liked it.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Then we get Les Giants.
Classic rock AF.
The Giants, is that what it is? I'm guessing, yeah. And then it picks up again after Mars. Yeah, I really dug it live. I think you can pick and choose what you like, but they really didn't quite nail down a sound for the whole album. But I still like every track that they're kind of bringing out. And I really love the energy and the singing, the saxophone, the drums. This one's great.
Yeah, lots of great instruments. It's just too classic rock for me.
Sure.
Like, I've been very vocal, but not really liking that.
Sure.
It's got a lot of stereo panning.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
That's kind of one of those classic rock things where they're, like, experimenting with panning back and forth. Where I'm like, okay.
Yeah. I like the line that says that they're androids made in space by giants.
Hell yeah.
That's metal
that's
AF.
And he says, like, I don't know if it's offensive to say schizoids, but yeah, there's a lot of weird imagery in this.
Yeah. Then we get, I'm probably going to butcher this one, but
the Falcon, the
Falcon,
Jackal, and
Chacal,
the spaceship.
El Aviso Especial. Yeah, it's a cool song.
Space vessel.
Fits with most of the album, kind of drags on. It's the longest song on the album at a little over 4 minutes.
Yeah, and it has like 12 words.
I love the little news tone that starts off the song, though.
Oh, yeah.
It's such a fun effect.
Yeah. I thought it was just kind of some like cool stoner rock that goes on for a while.
Screaming guitar.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the darker feel to this one. It feels sinister, even though I don't know the significance of the Falcon, Jackal, or
Me
spaceship.
Me either, my friend.
The beat switch up around a minute 40 is good.
Yeah.
And the little vocoder that joins in is also very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good touch. I like there's a scream to the heavens at 2:30, which is great. It's a Jim James level of yell. It's like so good.
Yeah.
And then they just jam out 100%. For another minute and a half. And I'm like, hell yeah. Like, I'll take this. I love a good primal scream and then just
jam.
Rocking out hard.
Yeah, it's good. And then the last track is Les Messanges.
The tits.
Is that what and then this is a weird almost folk song for the ending, or like late 70s rock, I don't know, whatever it is, I still
country-esque.
It's a soft outro for a very interesting album.
It feels like there's so many instruments playing in a good way, I think.
Sure.
But it just feels like there's a lot going on. Yeah. I'm like, what is happening here? And the switch up to a more psychedelic vibe around a minute 20 is also done quite well.
It was welcome.
Things start to kind of twist and vibrate as the vocals are swept around, with the flutes being the instrument that kind of keeps you locked in the center. This is a song to do drugs to, not that Final Verdict thinks you should do drugs. So I have to knock a point off because don't do drugs.
Yeah.
It also ends in a fade out, so I have to knock another
point off. Yeah, we're a famously straight edge podcast.
Yeah, this song is fantastic.
Though. I don't mind too much fade outs when they end the whole album. That doesn't bug me as much.
I don't want it
ever. That's fine. Yeah, that's fine. Other than that, it's a pretty standard release. I think I paid like $20 for it or something at the merch booth. It comes with a nice inner sleeve that's got more of that weird digital lava kind of stuff on it, with the tracks and,
flip it around. I want to see. Oh,
with the tracks and the lyrics on the back here, which is always appreciated. I like when inserts.
That's a nice little
come with
sleeve.
The album. Yeah. Good little sleeve here. Otherwise, you know, typical vinyl
release. What about the little label on it? Does it look nice? Does it look cool?
It's more the Def Leppard kind of font.
Oh, that's too bad. Yeah. I wanted that red lava.
Yeah, the red
that's
lava.
So sick.
The red lava would have been cool. Huh. With track listings, which is always nice as well. I don't know. What are you guys' final thoughts on Chocolat?
11 out of 13. See you next week. I really enjoyed this song. This is great.
Jamie, you love See You Next Week. I think you say it every single Final Verdict, even multiple times in the same episode.
I got to come up with a new. See you next week. No, it was a... I enjoyed it. It was a interesting change of pace. I enjoyed it in spite of not understanding the lyrics most of the time. But I think if you parse it enough, like if you know enough French and then you look at the English, you go, oh, okay, that's what they're talking about. But I enjoyed it. It was fun.
Yeah.
Well,
this album rocks. I immediately went and bought a copy.
No way!
100%. $18.
Yeah!
Canadian. And then shipping, whatever. Yeah. But I was like, I think shipping was another $12. Yeah. So I really, they got me there.
You get from Bandcamp or what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not on a Friday, sorry. This is a great album cover. It's a diverse and hypnotic sound with no song overstaying its welcome other than Koyaanisqatsi. There's no second K, but yeah. This is 100% an album worth checking out.
It's a Q, Koyaanisqatsi.
Yeah, that's right.
You said Katsuki. I said ski. You're right.
This is 100% an album worth checking out. I'm putting Rencontre, Lolo, Lulu by Chocolat in the fourth spot. Underneath Evil Urges by My... Plouffe is pumping his arms. Underneath Evil Urges by My Morning Jacket and above Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band by The Beatles. This album is so good. I was listening to it, I was like, is this top three? But no, it can't beat New World Order or Evil Urges or I Love You, Honey Bear. Those are very, very good. I think comprehension of the language, like complete comprehension, helps with that because I was able to understand enough. But like, yeah, I want to understand fully everything to be able to sing along to it, which I cannot on this. If you like psychedelic rock, listen to this album.
Hell yeah. I like it. You know, I bought it. It's a little all over the place. I bought this.
That's crazy.
I did, in fact, buy it. It's got some jazz, rock, psychedelic. I enjoy the weird ride, but I don't know if I actually love this album even as much as you guys do.
Interesting.
Yeah, I do like it, but I don't find that it is like classic psychedelic stuff, and I've heard a lot of that. And by 2016, I'd heard a ton. And so while I really dug it live and I went and bought an album, I don't think it's like particularly unique or necessarily better than some other stuff in the same category that I listen to. So I actually think it's like a 7.5 out of 10.
Whoa.
It's still really good. I know. Yeah, it's still really good and I like it, but it's just so all over the place at times that I have trouble recommending it to people. I'm genuinely surprised you guys liked it so much, to be honest. Especially with, yeah, like Koya Niskatsi, is a total vibe change.
Oh yeah, it's awful.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You don't like that one at all. No. And then a couple of the other songs are like really weird and I love all of it, but I like weird stuff.
We know.
Yeah. So, you know, to own it for $20, I'm super happy with it. I think the album art is sick. That's why I picked it. I'm super glad you guys like it, but, it's not something I recommend to most people.
Mm-hmm.
And like, honestly, do you think you could like recommend this album to a lot of people? I know a few people that would really like it.
Hey, Bell, did you like this album?
Yeah. I recommended it to a friend of the podcast, Adam Sundergaard.
Oh yeah. Sick.
Easy. I'm going to recommend this to a friend of mine too.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know, there you go. Yeah. I still think it's good. 7.5.
He is in fact French Canadian, so he may enjoy this.
He might know who they are.
No.
But yeah, that's my pick. Choc-a-lite.
Antoine is actually from France.
Oh.
Oh, he's French. France.
Well, you know who else is French? Jamie's pick.
I'm not French.
Well, what is it?
I picked the Moody Blues In Search of the Lost Chord.
Listen, I'm going to cut you off right now. This isn't even the best cover by the Moody Blues. Why'd you pick this one?
Really?
Oh, 100%.
It's one of the
What's
ones
the
I
best
own?
Cover by the Moody Blues?
Oh, you're talking about
A
on
Question
the
Question of Balance.
What's that?
A Question of Balance.
I don't have that on.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, why'd you pick this one?
Have you looked at the cover?
Explain it. What is it?
All right. There's a skull. And
I'm sold. Best one.
Okay. The skull has like wispy words coming out of it. And in the middle is an old man, a younger man, and a man with his arms outstretched, and a fetus.
I like that the tree, like the roots become the guy.
Yeah.
And it's the tree of life.
And the old man is the tree. And the sun is coming out of this.
You sound insane.
And then like, okay, so, and then the sun spells out the Moody Blues.
Yeah.
But the sun has a face and seven arms.
Yeah, it does.
I
think this is way better than whatever one you said, Power Balance or whatever.
How would you even know? You obviously haven't seen it before.
I looked it up just now, and I was like,
nah,
this one's way cooler.
I don't know. It feels a little tacky.
The next album has an okay cover, too, on the threshold of a dream, and then the one before it is called Days of Future Past. Days of Future Past. I'm also full of beans today. That's a good album, too. That's the one that has Knights in White Satin on it. That's a great album. Or a great song. I don't know. It's fun. My dad used to listen to this album when we were kids. He has it on 8-track. This is an LP. I paid $1 for this. Ploof and I went to whatever that record store was near your house that closed.
Yeah, that's a great deal.
I picked
deal.
This out of the dollar bin,
that's
and
a great
it
deal.
Sounds fantastic. Yeah. It's a little beat up, but it has character, and I like it. What are your thoughts?
Say less. I think it's a little tacky. I don't know. It's not bad. I like the hand-painted look of a lot of their album covers because I looked them up afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
I never listened to Moody Blues, but I'm not a huge fan of the cover. I think it's very pretty, but yeah, it's just not my style. I think it's the thing about psychedelic rock, and it'll come up in this album, the songs itself, I don't like, is this like holistic life birth thing like, not for me.
For me, what really sells it, because I agree with you, like most of the time I'm not crazy about that kind of stuff either, but what really sells it for me is the incorporation of the album name and the band name into the artwork.
Yeah.
Like the Moody Blues in the sun, and then the album name in like that weird wispy
like
wind or whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Looks really cool. Like once I didn't notice it at first too, and then once I did, I was like, oh, that's okay, that's really
if
cool.
I was tripping balls, I would be really into this
oh,
album.
Yeah.
See, and if I have to do that, I don't like the album cover anymore.
Yeah.
Fair.
All
right.
But it is neat, and I was really excited to listen to Moody Blues because I bought a signed copy for somebody I know of the Question of Balance, and that's why that's the one I know.
Okay.
But I've never actually listened. So I know a lot of people who are older that like the Moody Blues like back in the day, and they've kind of like heard of them in passing. So I was excited to listen to it. Did I love the album? Not really. But I do think there was a lot of good here that kind of made me want to listen to more by the Moody Blues.
Yeah. This isn't my favorite Moody Blues album.
say less.
But I thought the story of how the guy drew the the cover was sort of interesting. There's a whole paragraph in the article about this album about it. This was drawn by a guy named Phil Travers. He drew the one for A Question of Balance and the next album as well. So this is the 1968 album. On the Threshold of the Dream is the next album, and A Question of Balance is their 1970 album. So they released an album a year for basically the next 5 years. Hmm. It was drawn by Phil Travers, and he was sitting there in the studio watching them record the album, and he got... he saw the reflection of himself like repeated back to him because it was like mirrored glass. And that's how we got the idea of like the character with the seven arms. And he kind of drew it from there. And most of the rest of the cover has something to do with lyrics in the songs. So I thought that was kind of neat. He's a kind of an interesting dude. He was just like some guy who worked for Decca Records. And he drew like hundreds of album covers over his career. Anyway, like I said, it's not my favorite one. The Moody Blues albums are kind of formulaic in the sense that they all start off with like a poem and they all end with sort of like a poem.
I have a copy of Long Distance Voyager.
Oh, Long Distance Voyager is great.
It's a pretty good album. I'm not like a crazy big Moody Blues fan, but I do enjoy Long Distance Voyager.
Yeah, like I said, my dad liked this album. I owned this and On the Threshold of a Dream. That's the only two Moody Blues albums I own. But they go through many different phases in their career. This happens to be one of them.
Yeah.
They're
like concept albums.
Some of them are. I don't know. This sort of has a
concept. At one point, there's kind of like a branching story across some songs.
Yeah.
I wasn't able to really glean anything from a lot of it.
This is another one of those albums where like English people discovered Hindu mysticism.
100%. 100%.
There's that one song where I was like, I see.
There's a sitar.
They're within without you.
Yeah, and there's a sitar in a few tracks.
Well, it's funny because it's at that era too where I'm like, there's a lot of stuff where I'm like, this is Beatles-esque.
Yeah.
Then especially, I can't remember what song off the top of my head, we'll get to it, where I'm like, yeah, this is within without you.
The Moody Blues were always like an also-ran in the British music. They fulfilled their own like little things, sort of like Genesis did.
Sure.
Or Pink Floyd. Pink Floyd was pumping out weird crap around now,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
And Fleetwood Mac in their original incantation was pumping out weird bluesy.
Yeah, everyone quotes Rumours, but like...
Yeah, the original... Their original stuff is a bluesy, weirdy, psychedelic-y, you know, stuff. Anyway, did you want to give it one last listen?
Yeah.
Okay. School taught 101 is two, but by now that answer just ain't
sends the actor who is me.
It was an album. I was saying to Plouf at one point that my dad liked listening to two artists when we were kids.
Ween and Moody Blues.
And the Moody, no.
Wow.
He would either put on this album or... Oh, actually, you put on another one. He used to have put on the Kenny Rogers' The Gambler album.
I just gave that to you, didn't I?
What's up?
Did I just give you The Gambler by Kenny Rogers?
Maybe. it's a great album. And then he would also listen to like Bob Seger and the Silver Bullet Bands. I forget what album it was. My dad is a big Bob Seger fan.
You should come on Vinyl Verdict.
Bob Seger?
No,
or my dad.
Your dad. Or Bob Seger, I guess. I don't have anything against him.
So they're both named Bob. So
Bob.
it's a Bob thing. But anyway, so I have fond memories of this because my dad would... my mom worked evenings a lot. And then my dad would come home from work and he would like make us some like crap-ass dinner. Like, here's some macaroni.
Hell yeah.
Let's listen to Moody Blues.
So your dad... Is it weird knowing your dad did acid?
I don't.
That's the only way he.
I don't. My dad's taste in music is very bizarre. My dad is a huge fan of Gord Lightfoot.
Okay, sure.
And that's a point against LSD. For some reason, he also likes the Moody Blues and then Bob Seger, which is like Bob Seger is extremely regional. So I don't know. Anyway, this album starts off with a spoken word intro.
Well, it starts with like harpsichord or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Which scratched my brain real good.
Oh, yeah. It just sounds like this.
But then they play the chord from the end of Day in the Life, which is very weird. Like the big thonging, like a bunch of chords all at once. I was like, what is this?
And then it has like a synth that kind of goes.
Yeah, they have a rising chord behind the poetry. I was like, what is happening? I couldn't even pay attention to what he was saying because I was just like so thrown by this weird intro.
Yeah, I didn't like the intro.
No. There's also maniacal laughing at the end of the poem.
Yeah. Then it turns into a Pink Floyd song, and then it goes into Ride My Seesaw. It immediately segues into that.
You know, I like the tambourine quite a bit.
Okay,
it's a very full song. I like the orchestral feel with the strings.
Dangerously hard panned.
Yeah, oh yeah,
to both sides.
That is a complaint that comes up later. If another Beatles trait of some instruments are in some ears.
1968. I think it fits because it came. So this is a year after Sgt. Pepper's, where we also said, "Oh, that's kind of weirdly hard panned."
Yeah.
It's got some strings. It's a mellotron. We've talked about a mellotron before. Mellotron's a keyed instrument that plays like pre-recorded strings or what have you. One of the fellas in the Moody Blues is famous for playing the mellotron. I thought it was cool. It has a little guitar solo around 2:12.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they started off the album with my favorite song on the album, which is too bad because it also means I didn't particularly feel strongly about anything else. I think this is really good. It's not what I expected at all, and it's not even super similar to other stuff on the album.
No.
But the harmonies are top-notch. Mm-hmm. The drums and the tambourines are perfectly locked in.
Yeah.
And the switch to the darker bridge at 135 is wild. It switches so seamlessly in tone mid-line, which like blew my mind.
Like a seesaw.
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah, but it's midline instead of like, because you think it'd be like back and forth and back and forth.
Yeah, it's sort of, the song is about transitioning from youth to adulthood, right? So like you're slowly getting older, right?
Mm. And it kind of feels sudden when that happens.
Yeah. And then it immediately segues into the next track, which is a song about explorers.
Whoa, we're not done with this one.
Oh, okay.
I like the tasteful guitar solo as well. I wish it was a bit longer. I like that the guitar sticks around after the solo, though. Like it's just like that instrument is introduced and then it keeps playing. But there is a weird audio glitch. I actually meant to see if it was on your record as well.
It's not.
And the fade out, because it was on Apple Music and the YouTube one, and I was like, huh.
Oh, there's no. Yeah, no. It just
I didn't notice it on Spotify.
Yeah, it just kind of like it feels like something's cut from the recording, where it's like it's almost perfect, but like not quite. And I was like, weird.
Oh, weird. No,
but it was on all digital versions. I was able to listen to.
Oh, it's weird. No, I never noticed that.
Okay, now you can talk about this Beatles title.
Dr. Livingstone, I presume.
What's that?
That's an actual
line. To the benefit of Mr. Kite, or it's that kind of song.
So Dr. Livingstone, I presume, is what someone actually said to Dr. Livingstone when he ran into him
it's a friggin' history lesson in a song.
Yeah,
it's basically fake conversations about explorers until it fades out.
I think it's about searching for the whole thing is about searching their explorers, right? But like, it's about whether they search for something that was actually worthwhile. Hmm. And the person is asking if
he asked Christopher Columbus, did you find it? He's like, I found a bunch of Indians, but not what I'm looking for. It's like, this ain't it. I don't like story heavy songs and the beat is boring.
Yeah.
This is the song where I'm like, it has Beatles syndrome, but the drums and strings are in the left ear only.
Yeah.
Like I'm listening in my right ear only. I just hear tambourine and then some vocals. It's like, okay.
It felt very 60s to me with the keyboard and the organ or whatever it was.
Yeah.
I thought I had a good guitar solo just before 2 minutes. The verses, though, I'm not crazy about them. It's just kind of boring, and I don't like the pacing.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of the song.
Yeah.
As Primus told us, they can't all be zingers.
They can't all be zingers. That's true.
Right. And then House of Four Doors is broken up into two parts,
this is
separated
so weird
by another one.
Yeah, this is a very Western song. I like the chain sounds. And the way they kind of pan left and right like someone's walking or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The door opening sections that started at minute 40 made me tense up every time.
Oh, yeah, it's weird.
It's like a Resident Evil style door. Where it's like,
it's
and
scared,
then dead yeah. silence.
It scared yeah. the crap out of me when I was a kid.
Oh, it's yeah, so stressful.
My dad, I don't know. I don't.
Even the lyrics are nervous.
Yeah.
They're like, let's open the door.
What's behind the door? What's behind the
door? It's a room of music. Okay, let's open the next door. I'm like, stop.
I like the vocal harmonies. And I, you know, it turns into like this weird grandiose kind of classical vibe.
Yeah, it's got the harpsichord at the
yeah.
end.
Yeah. I actually liked House of Four Doors Part One.
So did your dad like the song? Like, who's he like, ooh, put on that door song again.
I said, my dad put on like four albums when we were kids. And I don't know, like, I don't know what, I should call him when
he just said, like, put on the door.
What you like about
what? And just meant the door song.
Door song.
What do you like about this song?
That was great. Well, I love the part when the doors come in.
He's like, everyone, quiet down.
Hold on, there's the part. Here it comes. He's going to creak the door.
But they don't go through all four doors in this song.
No, they don't go through. They go through the first three doors. And then it goes to Legend of a Mine, which is this song about Timothy Leary.
Oh my God, this song sucks.
No, it's great.
He died in like 96, though. So why are they saying he's dead?
Because he had been arrested.
Oh,
he had been arrested right. and he was sent to jail. They sent yeah. him to he was coming across the border from Mexico, and someone on Border Patrol found weed on another guy that was in his car, and they arrested. He took the rap for it, and they arrested him, and they sent him some like 50 years in jail. And he appealed it, saying that the Marijuana Taxation Act was unconstitutional, and he ended up winning.
Yeah.
And now that caused the Marijuana Taxation Act to be repealed, but it didn't legalize marijuana, and it released him from jail.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's talking.
Timothy Leary.
Yeah.
Timothy Leary. Timothy Leary. I'm like, shut up. I don't want to hear that guy's name anymore.
He was the guy who famously discovered that using LSD was a good way of not just expanding your mind,
like, but treated the PTSD and stuff.
Yeah, and PTSD, yeah. He cured people of criminality and stuff like that. Like,
you're no longer a criminal. He's like, wow.
Yeah, I guess so. They tried it. Okay, they experimented on prisoners, and this is probably really unethical. So they didn't tell them that they were going to use LSD,
yeah.
And then they tracked them after they did, and they found that all those guys had like strong, like, religious experiences, I guess, is the
of
best.
Of course it was religious. They didn't know they got dosed with acid.
Like, and anyway, so the recidivism, so, like, the amount of, like, crime they committed afterward went way down.
Totally, yeah. So, Leary is a very divisive figure.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, he's pretty cool, but he's pretty garbage.
Well, he's related to Kevin O'Leary.
Oh,
what?
No, he's not. The song has a flute solo in it.
I was gonna say, the one thing I like is instrumental that starts at 2:45 and goes to about 5 minutes. I was like, okay,
yeah,
this is good.
Sick,
and then they go
solo.
Back to Timothy Leary. I'm like, stop.
It's not my favorite.
He flies so low and he swoops so high. I'm like, what?
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't. It's again a very of its time. Very of its time.
If you want to learn about that kind of stuff, just read like Electric Kool-Aid Acid Test. That's a way
better.
Oh, yeah,
that's
a good book.
Learn about the history
Tom
of the Grateful
Wolf,
Dead.
I think. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. I got to reread that book. It's so good.
And then we get into the House of Four Doors Part 2. It's a continuation of Part 1.
It's kind
of. It didn't need to exist. There's like, okay, we left the house.
It's like just a short interlude and like nothing. Like, it totally could have just
minute and 45
Yeah, they went out the door and they're like, oh, we're outside now and the house is gone.
Yeah.
I think this is the end of Side 1. I didn't write that down.
It is.
Yeah. Then we get into Voices in the Sky. I thought that was very pretty.
You know, this is one of the few songs I actually really like. I like the woodwinds. It suits the whole bird theme very nicely.
He has a very nice voice.
It's a pretty song. A little repetitive, but otherwise I like
it's a
it.
Lot
I like
of
the
imagery.
Vibe. It's a good vibe. I think it's very funny because it's like the song is about a guy in the park like admiring birds and then freaking out because the ocean's calling to him. Like, the vibe switches every time. It's
so
like
weird.
The ocean calls to me, the ocean man is near. The birds are so pretty. The ocean man is around me. It's like, what is happening? It's like he's having acid flashbacks or something because he's like freaking out of nowhere. They'd be like, the birds are nice. The birds are so nice. They're so
just
pretty.
Listen to the pretty birds.
Like, what is happening? But it is a good song, I guess.
Yeah, it's got a nice voice.
Yeah.
I think it's Justin Hayward that does the singing on that. He's the guitarist, I believe. I didn't write that down. I didn't for the topic episodes. I don't always do research on these guys. And then we get into The Best Way to Travel.
This one sounds like the Beatles.
Yeah.
It's not a bad song. I kind of, you know, I wish I could travel by thinking, to be honest.
I thought that was funny, too. It's just like, don't go anywhere. Just think just about going
think,
places.
Just
it's
think
like,
about
this is very much a LeVar Burton song. It's like, take a look.
Yeah,
it's
reading
a
Rainbow.
Yeah.
There's a high-pitched chirping that
oh,
lasts.
Oh, yes, the space probe sound from Thunderball.
I hate it. So, oh, my God, I haven't thought about Thunderball in, like, 30
You remember,
years.
Like, when the thing, oh, the castle gets sucked up by, like, the other
Jeez,
bigger castle? That's that sound.
Oh, my God. I used to watch that at, like, 4 in the morning on,
Thunderball.
Like, Teletoon or something. Oh, my God.
Wow. And it's got, like, the classic It's a Satellite sound from, like, 2001.
Yeah, I can't stand it.
Yeah, it doesn't do anything for me. The song is fine.
Yeah, I don't really have anything to say other than it's fine. There's a weird lull in the middle, but otherwise it feels like a Beatles song, which we've already said. It just kind of goes
now,
by.
To remind the listener, we didn't pick this because we thought the content was good. We picked it because the cover was cool.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Visions of Paradise, the next song.
I like the vibe on this one. It has some darker moments, but it generally just feels folksy and whimsical in an appealing way.
It's one of those songs from the 60s where the British discovered traditional Indian instruments.
Yeah.
I was totally thinking about something else when you mentioned Thunderball. Disregard that.
Are you thinking Thundercats?
I'm thinking Thundercats. I'm thinking Thundercats. Totally different. Completely different. I was like, wait, that's not right.
Thunderball is the James Bond
yes,
movie.
Yes, it is the James Bond movie.
Thundercats is a
old
syndicated
show.
Cartoon
yeah.
about... Like superhero cats.
Yeah, very different.
It's very good though.
It's
Captain
time.
Planet.
Yeah, it's up
Thunder
of time. Visions of Paradise though. I don't really like the song either. I like the sitar.
Yeah, the sitar is pretty good,
especially closer to the end with the solos. But I don't know. Nothing here really inspired or excited me.
No, these guys love acid though.
Oh yeah, it's kind of grating instead of what should be a very soothing song for a song like this. Wait, you love this one, Jamie?
Nope.
No,
I'm trying to think of what about it would be great. I don't know. It's got a sitar. It's fine. It's whatever. It's very 60s.
Yeah.
Very late 60s. The Actor.
I like this one. It's like almost medieval at times with the woodwinds and the acoustic guitar, at least in the first minute.
It's kind of pretty. Yeah.
Yeah. I love the start to this.
Yeah.
And the brief pause when it reveals that he's watching a play that somehow he's the actor in. It's like that has that striking of like a...
Oh,
it's me. It's like, yeah. Oh, okay, that's cool. The vocals are really stand out. I love the rawness. So there's some parts that have like a Father John Misty vibe to it where the singer's really stretching their usual range,
yeah,
but like still doing quite well. I liked it a lot. Well, I like the singing a lot, I should say.
I thought the chorus was very nice in the song.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
I liked it when they go back to that classical Ren Faire vibe for the last like 15 seconds to kind of just bookend it. Mm-hmm.
And then we get into The Word, the song that bookends whatever the hell the first one was called, Departure.
That's another poem. There's no scary backing track, though.
No.
Yeah, this is 3/4 of a minute of spoken word that leads into the next track.
3/4 of a minute. Just say 45 seconds.
No, I said 3/4 of a minute.
He's still at the Ren Faire.
I'm still in the Ren Faire, yeah. Honestly, all I'm glad for is that they made this a completely separate track, so that if you're listening to this digitally, you can just skip it.
Yeah, now you can listen to the hippie stuff that's it's a vibe.
Yeah.
Hey, if you guys didn't know, these guys love acid.
Yeah.
They're peaceful and hippies.
It has some very nice harmonies.
I like the deep but kind of light hand drums. I thought those were really nice. They're very liquidy.
It's got some flute.
Yep. It's got a good solo section about halfway through where they kind of just jam for a little while.
Yeah, again, it's another one of those songs where they discovered like things from another culture.
Yeah.
And then they took it and they made it their own.
I like the aum.
Yeah.
Aum.
I'm sure if we read the liner notes, we'd find out that they discovered like some sort of African, you know, chant music, and then they stole some beat.
Yeah.
Because that's the way the 60s go.
Probably.
We stole Indian music. We probably stole something else.
Yeah. You know, people complain about cultural appropriation these days.
It was
a lot worse.
Rampant. All these people thinking that they could go to India for a week and find yeah. out that they understood life. Beatles did it successfully. Stones did it somewhat successfully.
The Moody Blues did it.
They did three different albums.
Yeah, they did it.
They did it. Anyway, that's the end of the album.
Well, what else is there going on with the record? The back, yeah, the inside. Hold on. Let me put down this. You paid $1 for it, which I guess changes my final verdict. Hey, like for $1? I mean, it's hard to complain.
Yeah, you'll find a lot of these in the dollar bin. They sold a lot of them. So the Moody Blues are our friends John Lodge, Mike Pinder, Justin Hayward, Ray Thomas, and Graham Edge. That's a good name.
He went to the U2 after this.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the Edge.
The back of the album is just photos of the band.
It's a bad back after such a cool front. It's literally just like, I can't choose what photo to use on the back cover. Just include all of them.
Goat field. It's a gatefold. You get some liner notes. You get some weird psychedelic painting.
Neat.
I think it originally came with a poster. Mine doesn't.
Wow, that lowers it by a score, at least.
Well, I got it for $1, but
I'd buy that for $1.
I'd buy that for $1. I got to rewatch RoboCop.
Oh, it has something about yoga on the one side.
Of course.
To anyone who's practiced the meditation of yoga, the word mantra is familiar as a word of power.
Wow.
And the most important word of power in the Hindu scriptures is the word Om, means God.
I'm going to ask my girlfriend when I get home tonight.
I don't know. There's more in here.
Fucking his Indian girlfriend.
I'm not going to continue reading this. This feels like Drek. but they describe that stuff. I never knew about this until I bought it on LP because my dad has an 8-track, and on the 8-track, all you get is the front album cover because there's no other side to an 8-track.
The good
stuff.
It's
a cartridge. In fact, sometimes you don't even get the album cover. And the 8-track has a slightly different running order because of the way channels work on that. Because every time it's like changes track to the 8 different tracks.
There's 8 of them, yeah.
It changes channel. To avoid changing channel in the middle of a song, they change the order sometimes. So the order on the 8-track
is so weird.
Yeah, it's a very weird format.
Like, I get cassette, I get CDs,
records. You know why 8-tracks were invented?
No.
Because the guy who invented the Learjet wanted to listen to music on planes, and planes were too bumpy to listen to. And cassettes hadn't been invented.
Yeah,
reel-to-reels were too heavy.
Cassettes weren't out yet. Yeah.
What if you condense a reel-to-reel into a tiny little machine? That's how he got around to listening to music in his airplane. Anyway, what are your thoughts, children?
You know, after the first real song, the Seesaw one, I was excited for the album. I would probably say really excited. Wow. I was like, this might be the highest reviewed group of albums we've done.
Wow.
That's how I was coming off the High of Kin and being like, this good album still. How good Chocolat was. And then I did Moody Blues. I did it in this order. And then I was like, my God, I can't wait. And then the rest of the album happened. And I think I just don't care enough about drug culture to like it. The Timothy Leary stuff was just really cringe to me. There's a lot of beautiful sounds and descriptors that are genuinely very engaging. But of the 12 tracks, I'd probably cut 6, which is a lot. 50%, to be exact. I think if this was just playing, I wouldn't be upset. But side A only has one song I enjoyed, and side B is fine. Like, I liked the actor, and everything else is just kind of, like, passively fine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to put this in the 24th spot above Ask the Dust by Lorne and below Bestiary by Hail Mary Malin. The album has some cool ideas surrounded by hard-to-listen-to ideas, but if you're doing acid, this might be for you. And I also now want to listen more Moody Blues. Just...
Yeah, I like the next album. The next album's pretty good.
There's better albums to listen to if you're going to do
it. Yeah, I've never listened to the one that you bought the signed copy of, but I don't actively seek out.
I'm a huge fan. I was signed Moody Blues album.
Wow.
No, you didn't. You bought it for someone else.
Yeah, it's gone.
Yeah. and I think that person asked us to cover a Moody Blues, so we did it.
Yeah.
It's done.
I'm going to send this episode. I'm glad it's the third of a very long episode, I'm sure.
Mm.
Ploof?
You know, it's okay. I'm not exactly crazy about it. I probably won't buy a copy. I don't hate it, But there's definitely tracks I agree, I would just cut them. I like some of the weird stuff, but then there's some of the stuff that I'm just like, eh, that's a little too weird, or drags on, or like you said, the Timothy Leary song is kind of garbage. It is.
Generous.
That one and like...
Tell us how you really feel.
That one and one or two others is just really not that good. But, you know, some of the other ones, like the Doors, I actually really like the House of Doors. It's got four doors.
It's a sedan.
And I actually really liked Ride My Seesaw, you know, Voices in the Sky was nice. But that's kind of it. It's very full and a little all over the place. I think if you like experimental 60s stuff, you'll probably enjoy it. But I think there's better stuff out there that fits that genre. So I'm giving it like a 6 out of 10.
You know, I write the memories of hanging out with my dad when I was like 7. That's a 10 out of 10.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
This album itself, it's whatever. I'll put it on. And it's nice to have. But the album itself, I don't know. It's probably like an 8 out of 13. Whatever. It's music my dad liked. And sometimes I wonder what my dad enjoys about music. I have no idea. It's like understanding what Bella likes about music. Nobody knows.
Yeah, I still can't believe you guys both really liked Chocolat. I was not expecting you guys to be like, wow, you picked my weird stuff.
Like, understanding what my mom and I like about music is a lot easier because my mom, like, most of the records that I have behind me, I stole from my mom.
Right.
Like, my mom likes David Bowie, so, like, the Ziggy Stardust album that Belle really loves.
Oh, so good.
My mom loves the Beatles. She likes Neil Young. So that's probably why I like all of those things, because my mom loved them. And for whatever reason, my dad likes the Moody Blues, specifically this album and the next one.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
Well, let's talk about the albums we didn't pick. I have a big chunk of records beside me. Jamie has a big chunk of records. Well, I mean, we're at his house, so he's got unlimited records. Ploof brought nothing.
Yeah, I forgot to bring extras, but I have my Discogs account.
Well, I'm sitting right here. I got my records handy, so let me talk about some of the ones I brought. We're obviously not going to talk about the content or anything like that, but for records I brought that I like the album cover of, I brought Dawn FM by The Weeknd, because I would hear frequently that people think I look like The Weeknd. So when this came out, and it's just his face all old, I was like, this is what I'm going to look like when I'm old. Cool. Well, I didn't wear glasses before, so like...
I guess without glasses, maybe a little bit, sure.
And then the inside, the gatefold, is just another picture of him old looking off in the distance. So I like that one. I also brought two Tyler Crater albums.
Yeah, sure.
Scum Fart Flower Boy.
Yeah, it's a great
album
cover. With
the bees and him on... It's like a painting.
Yeah.
I also brought Wolf, which is another... painting.
Yeah, Tyler, bike, the creator.
Yeah, it's a good one. I brought Five by The Horrors, which has this weird, gooey face thing on it.
Oh, yeah.
And I almost picked it because the inside's cool and it has this built-in, what looks like those paper
bookmark
Obi. Things that go on Japanese albums. What is it called?
Obi.
Cool. I also brought Teaser for my AMD upgrade coming up, LTT on YouTube.
The Katamari Damacy.
Katamari Damacy.
I owned that album, and then
great
I scalped
album cover
it.
With the...
Because I'm garbage.
You are. King of the Cosmos and the Prince and this cool, like...
Have you listened to it yet?
No.
It sounded pretty good when I owned it. And it's such a good track list.
Another teaser, my... limited edition Empire of the Sun cover because it's lenticular, so it's 3D.
Oh, I like that.
We'll be talking about these
so
very soon, I'm sure.
Empire of the Sun is a great movie. It has nothing to do with this band. No. Empire of the Sun is a movie by Steven Spielberg, but it's
We'll be talking about this album. It'll probably be my next pick, or it'll be a topic or something like that. We'll choose it very soon. But I also have next week's choice. Disclosure's Alchemy, which is also very cool. It's a needlepoint picture.
Oh, I never
of the
realized
two brothers.
That.
Yeah.
But we'll talk more about that cover next week. But I had quite a few that I liked. I brought a few, but, you know, album covers are so cool. I love it when it's more than just, like, band photo.
I've listened to a lot of bands just by, like, walking into a record store or a CD store and buying the cool ones that look 100%. Cool and listening to them and being like, oh, this is sick.
I've gotten some bad stuff, though. The Plastics?
Yeah, it happens.
The Plastics is a Japanese band. I was really excited about it. I almost brought it, but I was like, man, it really just is not a good album. Very, very cool looking, though. But usually, I feel like I agree. You can get some cool music from a cool album cover.
I like all the Cassiopeia album covers. They're very...
I love
Mint
New
Jams.
York.
Yeah.
Mint Jams is great because it's just like a jar of jam and it's...
Well, I like the one before the one we listened to. The one that has the race cars on the front.
Oh, yeah. That one's cool, too.
That's dope.
What do you have there, Jamie?
I walked over to my record collection.
Whoa.
I grabbed a few. This is the Talking Heads, More Songs About...
Fantastic.
More Songs About Buildings and Food. I think it's really cool.
To describe it, it's like that bathroom tile window that you kind of see.
Yeah,
you
know, but the picture's been cut up like that.
Yeah, it's neat. It's just a picture of the band, but done neatly.
The Who by Numbers.
The racist album cover.
Hey, he's got a big nose.
they all have big noses.
It doesn't mean it's
but
racist.
It's like a paint by numbers.
Yeah, or connect the dots. Cover.
Connect the dots, yeah.
Yeah, thank you. This is Yaz's Upstairs at Eric's.
That's cool.
That's neat.
Yeah, it's like two mannequins kind of. Like, but their torsos and their legs aren't joined
together.
I love
how unique our tastes are. Our choices for favorite are also different. Like, Ploof, what is that Waves album that you really like? What is it?
King of the Beach.
King of the Beach. I go, that is too eclectic for me, but it's very neat.
It's very neat. It's got a cat, and he's like, the cat's smoking weed. And
you can see on screen right now.
Yeah, it's weird.
What is this one you have, Jamie?
This is Alice in Chains' facelift.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's nice.
His eyes bugging out of his head.
Yeah. And then I got...
Cruising.
This one's tough. So this is a series.
Oh my god, he has a huge stack.
This is a series of albums. I'm just gonna go through them.
These are not gonna be put on screen. There's too many. I'm not putting this on screen.
So each of them is done in an Archie style.
Yeah, comic.
Comic, and they all tell a story if you have them all together. And I only have.
It's like a Dick Tracy.
Yeah, it's pop art.
Yeah, and as you go back in time.
Was it released by year?
Yeah. Or. So there's one for each year.
Oh, I see.
From 1955 on.
So it's like a compilation. Or what music is this?
So what this is it's called The History of Rock and Roll Radio, in the sense that they got a DJ from each radio station that's covered to do an one set. So it's interspersed with commercials of its time.
Oh, neat.
And then, like, he introduces a song and he talks about something that's going to happen on the radio station in the next hour. Maybe he'll read the news.
Was it released at the time?
No. Hmm. So the commercials are from the time. So like they'll have like a commercial for like the 1959 Buick. Hmm. And then they'll like intersperse in like something that happened.
But it's like a dude from 3 years ago did it.
No, it's the actual DJ from that radio station. But so they were all released in 1970. But they got the radio station DJ from 1959 to do a show like it was 1959 or whatever. It's pretty cool. But yeah, as you go back in time, like the Archie style reflects the era.
Yeah, it's getting more and more Archie as you go back.
Yeah.
I'll put one of them up on screen so you can kind of see what we're talking
about. Yeah, it's pretty neat. But this is like one of my... I keep whacking the mic. I'm really sorry, Bill. It's one of my favorite just because the art style is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of a history lesson, and I appreciate that.
Nice.
So
yeah. Some I didn't bring with me. George Clinton Computer Games.
George Clinton Computer
Clinton,
Games.
Not Clanton. I bought that, I think, when Jamie was there. I don't know if Bell was there. But
you and I went record shopping, and you bought it, and you're like, this album looks dope.
I don't get invited to go
so
shopping
cool.
anymore.
This is years ago.
I was having trouble picking between that. Antipop by Primus. D. Louse in the Comatorium. Tower of Power's Bump City, because it's just like a hand holding fried chicken and there's a lightning bolt. It's pretty great. Highmare by, I can't remember what the band is called, but that one's really cool. And then Morbid Stuff by Pup is kind of neat as well. That was another one that was on my list that I had trouble with.
Yeah, you mentioned Pup a few times. I'm sure we'll end up covering them.
Yeah, and then Sales. I actually have I bought a poster from Sales when I bought their EP. And it's basically just the album art.
Is it the one with like the arm coming out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one's pretty cool. Those are just a few I had trouble choosing from. There's others that are super cool. Sweeps is another one that puts out some really interesting art. But
I like Sweeps.
Yeah.
But Sweeps just takes 70s sci-fi art and puts it on.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, yep. They take like Ralph McQuarrie art.
Yep.
Ralph McQuarrie is a really... interesting 70s sci-fi artist. You can look up most of his work online.
One more notable one, the last one I'll choose, is NXXXXXS Fujita Scale, which is this like weird, it's like a hurricane has gone through and there's a pool and it's all messed up. Hard to describe, but yeah, that one was also on my list.
Okay. I had to look that one up. It's pretty good. I like that.
Yeah, it's pretty neat, hey?
Yeah.
I'll choose at some point. It's like, I don't know, it's weird.
Well, join us next week when we talk about Bell's next pick.
Alchemy by Disclosure. We're going electronic.
Yeah.
We're going dancing.
I thought they were... So I got Disclosure and Erasure. Confused.
Always I want to be with you.
Yeah, I got that song. I was like, oh man, we're listening to Erasure? No, we're listening to Disclosure. But spoiler alert, I'm not listening to it.
Wow.
See you next week.
Bye.